When I learned about the coup, I felt lost, alone in the ocean. I live here, but my thoughts are with everyone back home.
Deadly protests in Myanmar. It's Monday, February 22nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're also online on VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, U.S. immigration reverses course again, COVID vaccine myths, cutting in line for the vaccine, landing on Mars, and landing a big tennis trophy. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Thousands of demonstrators took to the streets across Myanmar again on Sunday, a day after two people were killed when police and security forces used live and rubber bullets, tear gas, water cannons, and slingshots against those protesting the military's February 1st coup. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned the deadly violence. He said the use of lethal force, intimidation, and harassment against peaceful demonstrators is unacceptable. 20 people were wounded in Saturday's violence, according to the head of a volunteer emergency service, and 569 have been detained in connection with the military takeover. That's according to the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, an activist group. Early on Sunday, police arrested a famous actor, Lu Min, who had taken part in protests in Yangon and was one of six celebrities the army said were wanted under an anti-incitement law. The army accused Lu Min of encouraging civil servants to join in the protest. If convicted, he faces a 2-year prison sentence. With mass protests taking place in Myanmar against the coup, migrant workers in neighboring Thailand are also voicing their outrage over the military takeover back home. We have details from Vitra Dwangdi in Bangkok.
Far from home, but still seething with anger, Myanmar migrant workers in Thailand protest against the military coup in their country. Myanmar's army seized power on February 1st, unable to accept a big election loss in November, to the party of the country's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. Massive pro-democracy protests have erupted across Myanmar, as migrants in Thailand rally in solidarity.
When I learned about the coup, I felt lost, alone in the ocean. I live here, but my thoughts are with everyone back home.
With borders closed and internet blackouts imposed by the army, factory worker Amy says the distance to loved ones back home feels wider than ever.
When the internet is cut off, my mom worries about us kids. She's there alone. We just want peace in our country.
Hundreds of thousands of people from Myanmar work in construction, factories, and restaurants in Thailand. They send vital remittances home to families who live in one of Southeast Asia's poorest countries. So far, Thai police have stood by as migrants stage anti-coup rallies. But the kingdom is under a state of emergency to fight the coronavirus. The law bans mass gatherings, which makes the migrant protests fraught with risk, say migrant advocates.
If migrants are arrested, they could be deported.
Thai authorities are also contending with a youth-led pro-democracy movement against the country's generals, who also refuse to leave the political stage. Aided by the internet, young protesters from both countries are swapping symbols and tactics as they reject authoritarianism. Myanmar's demonstrators have adopted the three-finger Hunger Games salute of resistance used by Thailand's protesters. In exchange, their Thai peers are banging pots and pans, a form of loud protest borrowed from Myanmar, meant to drive away evil. The sound of rebellion against military rule is refusing to be silenced. Vichitra Dungdi for VOA News, Bangkok.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Actor arrested, two Myanmar protesters killed by gunfire. Mass COVID-19 vaccination begins in Australia. India and China complete troop pullout from lake area. Afghans rescued from Taliban say they were tortured. Pakistan Zoo begins mammoth makeover after lonely elephant's departure. expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found online at our Facebook page, VOA Asia. Also, stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington, where Democrats introduced a bill based on the Biden administration's immigration priorities that would provide a path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented immigrants. Meanwhile, officials will begin processing Central American asylum seekers who were turned back and forced to remain in Mexico under a controversial Trump-era policy that has been revoked. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has the story.
U.S. officials will begin to process up to 25,000 migrants turned away under the Trump-era migrant protection protocols. Good news for asylum seekers at this shelter on the Texas border with Mexico.
Our miracle is about to come true. We are very happy about it.
Democratic lawmakers introduced a bill to add resources to handle the backlog of asylum seekers. The U.S. Citizenship Act will also increase caps for green card lotteries, change the word alien to non-citizen in U.S. laws, and provide a path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented immigrants.
So this is a values-based but also economically beneficial. And as I have always said, immigrants coming to our country, with newcomers coming with their hopes and dreams and aspirations, with their optimism and determination to make the future better for their families, well, those are American traits.
Aimed to counteract 4 years of Donald Trump's hardline border policies, the bill is unlikely to receive enough Republican support in the Senate.
It is a very radical bill in that it greatly opens the border to additional waves of illegal immigration. It makes the government a participant in illegal immigration. And then it also eliminates grounds for removal on the back end. So not only would more illegal aliens be coming into the U.S., we would not be deporting very many.
The bill reflects immigration priorities that President Joe Biden introduced hours after he was sworn in. But a lack of bipartisan support could force it to be broken up into individual pieces, including provisions for essential workers who work in industries critical during the pandemic, such as food supply and agriculture, and for Dreamers or people who came illegally as children. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki acknowledged that Democrats may need to compromise, but signaled that Biden wants broad immigration reform legislation.
The president feels that all of these requirements that are in the bill, these components of the bill, are what makes it comprehensive. They all need to be addressed. That's why he proposed them together.
The administration says it is committed to humane immigration policies. But with Trump-era pandemic-related restrictions still in place, the majority of migrants at the border will still be turned away.
What we need to do is take a look at the situation at the border for migrants and approach it from a science-related viewpoint and not from a political perspective designed to turn away migrants. We hope that the president will relax the restrictions at the border, which public health experts have said are not necessary, because it's important to resume asylum processing while people are desperate.
Earlier this month, Biden announced an increase in annual refugee admissions, which fell to a historic low under Trump.
Up to 125,000 persons for the first full fiscal year of the Biden-Harris administration.
Immigration reform is a key campaign promise for Biden, one that he is eager to pursue while Democrats hold the majority in Congress. Patsy Whitaker-Suara, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Malaysia's highest court found a national news portal in contempt of court for comments posted by readers deemed offensive to the judiciary in a case widely seen as a test of media freedom in the Southeast Asian nation. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's a brand new week. We're glad you're starting it off with us at VOA Asia. People the world over have questions about the safety of COVID-19 vaccines, and some are reluctant to get immunized. VOA's Carol Pearson helps debunk some of the common myths about the COVID vaccines.
Scientists around the world have rushed to find a vaccine to protect against the virus that's caused the COVID-19 pandemic. The virus has claimed more than 2 million lives and infected more than 100 million people. Yet despite the proven protection that COVID vaccines offer, people still have doubts about getting one.
I don't know what to believe, to either believe the news, believe social media, believe whatever, you know, is out there, you know?
I'm a little bit skeptical because I want to know, how is it going to affect my immune system?
I don't see why I would take a vaccine for something that I may not ever get.
The skepticism is just as real in sprawling cities like Los Angeles and in the small towns of West Virginia.
The bad part about it is if it goes wrong and you do get a virus from it, then what?
Some vaccines are made from weakened or dead viruses, but experts say there's no need to worry. Dr. Tosin Goji of the Cleveland Clinic was trained in infectious diseases.
No, it's not going to give you COVID. It's not a live vaccine. You're not going to get a COVID infection.
Although the vaccines are new, Dr. Goji says the technology used to make them is not.
It was initially put together for cancer patients. So it's not like we just found this technology within the past year for COVID. It's something that has been in place. And when the opportunity came, it was like an aha moment, like we can use this technology for this.
The World Health Organization has a web page that addresses the myths and concerns about the vaccines and the virus itself, including who can get COVID-19. The answer, everyone. Can certain foods like garlic protect against COVID? What about dietary supplements or vitamins? The World Health Organization says there's no evidence they can. And then there's a belief that these vaccines can change your genetic code.
It will destroy your DNA and you'll become part of like a transhuman because they're putting nanoparticles into it.
The Pfizer, Moderna, and Sputnik vaccines are mRNA vaccines or messenger RNA vaccines. Remember the spike protein on the COVID virus? These vaccines teach our cells how to make a protein or even a piece of a protein that triggers an immune response inside our bodies.
It's not changing your DNA. People think, oh, it's going to change me. And that's why I take the pictures. It's not integrating itself into your DNA. No, it's not changing who you are.
The World Health Organization is calling for massive public education campaigns to address people's concerns and their fears. Experts say vaccines, along with prevention efforts, keeping hands clean, wearing masks, and social distancing, will put an end to the pandemic, but only if people follow these practices. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
Myths debunked. The truth is, some people are trying to get in line for a shot ahead of others. We have more on that on VOA Asia in just a moment.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. China has said for the first time that four Chinese soldiers died during a Himalayan border clash with Indian troops in June 2020. The men were given posthumous awards. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, in the United States, some 28 million people have received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine. But the rollout has not been smooth, and some people have been jumping to the head of the line. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias found out why.
While most of the United States' highest-risk population waits to get the COVID-19 vaccine, Mark Sussman, a D.C. resident, has gotten his two doses of the Moderna vaccine.
I certainly took opportunity of a broken system.
He's only 36 years old, with no special health conditions, and thus not yet within the eligibility criteria.
I happen to live four blocks from grocery store here in DC, I gave them the pharmacy a call to ask if my wife and I could be put on a wait list. They had extras after some no-shows.
Once thought, vaccines have a shelf life of 6 hours. So finding someone to give them to instead of throwing them away has been a priority for some pharmacists. 31-year-old David McMillan, who is also not in the priority pool, benefited from the loophole. McMillan was randomly chosen to get a shot while picking up groceries at a Giant food store in the U.S. Capitol.
The rollout of the vaccine has been, you know, rough. I'm glad I was able to get it, but the fact that they had extra doses and they didn't have a system in place for that is disappointing.
Giant's spokesman, Daniel Wolk, told VOA that cases like McMillan's are rare and that the chain's pharmacists are following all Washington's health department guidelines. Confidence in the vaccine is growing, but the supply is still short. For those waiting, patience is growing thin with online registration sites that seem stuck and no appointments available. At this community pharmacy in Alexandria, Virginia, vaccine hopefuls showed up unannounced. At one point, the owner was forced to stop the process.
People were like lining from here to there all the way and they start fighting. And everybody's like wants to take the vaccination. So it really breaks my heart. And sometimes you have to say no to them.
To get things under control, the Alexandria Health Department has forbidden walk-ins and built a standby system to discourage line jumpers while still preventing waste.
We have extra lists of people who are eligible that our different partners can call and say, hey, can you be here really quickly because we have this extra vaccine. We really just need to prioritize the people who are at highest risk of severe disease and death.
In their 70s, the Dexters are in the at-risk tier. They have followed all the protocols and are patiently waiting for their second vaccine dose. They wish others would follow suit.
If indeed there are people jumping the line, you know, that's a shame. I think that those people are depriving, you know, first responders and other and people with really serious medical conditions from getting their protection first.
I would have liked to have seen a coordinated national effort established very early on. It would have taken away a lot of the uncertainty in certain areas of the country about who goes first and how do you get this done.
Veronica Valderas Iglesias for VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Making headlines in Asia, the International Olympic Committee welcomes Seiko Hashimoto, the former Japanese Olympian, as new president of the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee. Hashimoto replaced Yoshiro Mori, who was forced to quit after comments he made about women that were criticized as sexist. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, NASA's Perseverance rover is getting to work on Mars after Thursday's successful and suspenseful landing on the Red Planet. Like millions around the world, VOA's Kane Faribault watched the event live, but from a Chicago planetarium otherwise closed to the public due to COVID-19 restrictions.
Celebrating the landing of a NASA rover on Mars is a feat that usually draws a crowd to the historic Adler Planetarium on Chicago's lakefront. But not this time.
We've been closed since last March for the pandemic, and we're still closed.
While the Adler's Granger Sky Theater might not have been full of people, it brimmed with excitement and anticipation. Crowded or not, a celebration ensued with a life-size image of NASA's rover Perseverance proudly peering over the party, which pivoted online.
We're innovating and trying to come up with new ways to do what we were doing before, but do them in a different way online. But the underlying experience is still the same.
During the online presentation, staff fielded questions about the mission and the importance of the accomplishment.
But one of the things I hope people understood was the amazing drama of exploration.
The navigation has confirmed that the parachute has deployed and we are seeing significant deceleration.
12-year-old Chicago student Kira Smale, whose parents work at the Adler, watched the planetarium's live YouTube presentation of NASA's latest interplanetary accomplishment from home.
I don't think that we would have seen it in school, but because of the pandemic, I saw it.
Smale, who has not been in a classroom since March of 2020, sees the Adler's digital outreach as a new way to draw in a larger and wider audience.
It might be a good thing because more people like around the world who maybe can't get to Adler can see that. You can see it like a lot easier and you don't need a car to like go there.
The lack of a live in-person audience did not reduce the drama or the emotion of the rover landing.
You cannot fake the drama of this thing.
Like, launching a mission to search for signs of ancient life on Mars that could reshape humanity's perception of the cosmos. A huge undertaking for a machine the size of a go-kart.
It's almost like you're there. The thing has cameras about the height of a human. It is going to be moving over the surface and taking pictures from a flying aircraft and taking pictures close down. It's almost as if you could imagine yourself walking across the surface. And that is why people are inspired to listen to these kind of programs and also learn about Mars themselves and come to places like the Adler.
The Perseverance mission comes as NASA prepares to return crews to the moon. Among a host of other missions, Michelle Nichols is excited to observe from the Adler.
There are unmanned spacecraft headed to the moon as part of Artemis later this year. So there's that. There's the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope. That's another major opportunity to reach folks. There's a couple of solar eclipses coming up in 2023 and 2024.
In the meantime, Nichols says the planetarium will follow Perseverance's run on the Red Planet, which is expected to last several years. Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Chicago, Illinois.
Japanese tennis fans are celebrating another Grand Slam title for Naomi Osaka, who played a solid match to defeat American Jennifer Brady 6-4, 6-3 in 77 minutes to win the Australian Open for a second time. It is also her fourth career major title. Osaka is the first woman since Monica Seles in the early 1990s to win her first four major titles, as we hear more from Craig Gabriel, courtside in Melbourne.
Naomi Osaka has become just the 12th woman in the Open era, which goes back to 1968, to win multiple Australian Opens. She defeated Jennifer Brady 6-4, 6-3 in 77 minutes to hoist the Daphne Akers Memorial Trophy.
Tonight I felt was more of a mental battle. I think we were both nervous. Of course, I can't speak for her, but I was extremely nervous. And I honestly just told myself before the match, I'm probably not going to play well. And I shouldn't put that pressure on myself to play perfectly, but just go out there and fight for every point. You know, the outcome is whatever it wants to be, but I can live with the fact that I tried very hard.
Brady had to serve to stay in the first set, but facing set point, she dumped a forehand into the net. It should have been a straightforward return.
Not the way that I wanted it, but yeah, I would say it was exciting to be out there. I had, you know, I enjoyed every single minute playing in front of fans in my first Grand Slam final.
And after that, you got the sense this final was done. Osaka raced to a 4-love lead in the second, and credit to Brady as she rallied a bit, but it was not enough.
Didn't go my way, but at the same time, coming off court, I was like, okay, that feels a little bit normal. It felt different than what I was expecting it to feel like. If you were to ask me maybe a year ago, I wouldn't think it's possible, or it would feel like it's like going to Mars. So I would say just being more comfortable at this level. Yeah.
Naomi came up with a big serve on championship point, and Jen couldn't really control the return, and it went out as Osaka, with her face beaming, raised her arms in victory.
For me, my feelings, I'm really happy right now. I think this is a moment that I've been working for during the entire preseason. And you know, it's really weird when you get to that final point, you start trembling because you can think of like the what ifs. For me, I feel like I'm living in a what-if right now.
Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Of course, the men's final followed, and Novak Djokovic of Serbia is now being referred to as the King of Melbourne Park. He has won his 9th Australian Open, beating Daniil Medvedev of Russia 7-5, 6-2, 6-2. The win is the 18th career major for Djokovic. Only Roger Federer of Switzerland and Rafael Nadal of Spain are ahead of him with 20 each. The 9th Aussie Open title sees Djokovic extending a record he already had, and he is the second man in the Open era after Rafael Nadal at the French Open to win 9 or more titles at the same major. With the conclusion of the Aussie Open tennis tournament, we conclude our program for today. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow on VOA Asia. You can continue online in the meantime. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at VOA Asia. We also thank those who help bring the program to you every day. Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.